While some poets write obscurely about obscure things, Richard Blanco writes clearly about the familiar.
I've always sort of had a personal sort of vision or mission in my own writing. I mean, I wanted work to really connect with people because I've seen it with kids and grade school and stuff like that. And I was prided myself on, the idea of creating accessible work.
In a charcoal suit and tie and pink shirt, and looking more like a movie star than a poet, Blanco ducks out of the rain to sit in a reading chair in Robert Frost's old barn. Hyla Brook poet Robert Crawford approaches the podium to introduce Blanco to the barn's capacity crowd of 50 or so.
Now, I know I usually say it's special, but this tonight is really very special because we have the fifth inaugural poet reading in the home and barn of the first inaugural poet.
52 years ago, when 83-year-old Robert Frost stood before the microphone and the world to become the first inaugural poet, glare from the snow and winter light prevented him from reading the poem he'd written for the occasion.
Summoning artists to participate in the august occasions of the state.
I can't see in this light, Frost says, clearly struggling. He soon gives up and smoothly recites an older poem, The Gift Outright, from memory.
The land was ours before we were the land. She was our land more than 100 years before we were her people.
As Richard Blanco told the crowd, it wasn't exactly Mother Nature that proved a hazard to the reading of his inaugural poem.
I'm sitting up there at the platform, and this, my mother's sitting next to me. She's telling me to... Mio, está de quieto. She's telling me to stop fidgeting. And she actually gives me a piece of candy. And mothers will be mothers, I guess. She's, of course, complaining it's too cold. I'm like, okay. Why did I bring you?
Like Frost, anyway, but with a helpful bit of candy in his pocket, Blanco sallied forth.
Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, America, one today.
As he stood before the thousands, the millions, the most there would ever be, the question hung in the air. Would he be able to pull it off, the most important poem of his life?
One sun rose on us today, kindled over our shores, peeking over the Smokies, greeting the faces of the Great Lakes, spreading a simple truth across the Great Plains, then charging across the Rockies.
If there's a granite hardness and blue loft to Frost's poems, Blanco typically works with the worn leather and broken glass of the everyday. His poems are memories that could almost work as funny stories if they didn't draw truth so potently from the commonplace.
Of course, I wanted to be as American as apple pie, like I said, what I saw on TV, and that included my name. I thought my name was much too ethnic. So this is a poem about my name and my desires. The name I wanted, not Ricardo, but Richard, because I felt like Richard Burton, a true Anglo-Saxon in tights, reciting lines from Othello, because I wanted to be as handsome as Richard Gere in a white tuxedo, because I had a pinky ring just like Richard Dawson on Family Feud, because I knew I could be just as wholesome as Richie Cunningham, just as American as my father's favorite president, Nixon. Ricardo de Jesus Blanco, I dub thee myself Sir Richard Jesus White. Defender of my own country, protector of my wishes, conqueror of mirrors, sovereign of my imagination, a name for my name.
That's from Blanco's most recent book, The Gulf Motel. His poems typically unfold in rooms, in cars, in the enclosed kitchen space of memory, and explore the eternal guessing game of identity. But with the inaugural poem, Blanco found himself switching gears, leaving that small space and lifting off the ground, and yet finally arriving in the America he'd always sought.
I turn to my mother and whisper, Mama, I think we're finally Americanos. Senator Schumer introduces me and calls me up to the podium. My mother squeezes my shoulder. Still, I'm surprised when the president and vice president stand up to greet me and shake my hand on my way to the podium. They both whisper something in my ear that I can't make out. I got a poem to read, guys. But their gracious gestures speak silently to my heart. Silently to my heart. As if saying, Richard, here is your country. This is your story.
In his reply to President Kennedy's request for a grand occasional poem, Robert Frost wrote, "If you can bear at your age the honor of being made President of the United States, I ought to be able, at my age, to bear the honor of taking some part in your inauguration. I may not be equal to it, but I can accept it for my cause. The arts, poetry, now, for the first time, taken into the affairs of statesmen." Blanco deeply shares this sense of responsibility.
Because there's no other moment in America that connects poetry with the sort of average American than the inauguration. I mean, in some ways, I think that it's, to me, it's even a greater blessing than a Pulitzer, or for me personally, in terms of what I wanted to do with poetry.
Where some poets may have risen to the inaugural occasion, only too happy to return to their private worlds, Blanco has found a new world that he intends on exploring.
I feel it was like a tap on the shoulder, and I'm stepping into it. I'm stepping into my life in a way that I always envisioned. And that's, I just feel like I'm right in the right path, you know.
Bringing the poems to the people of his country, stepping into his life, Richard Blanco moves across America. For Word of Mouth, I'm Sean Hurley.